ours to protect the environment, climate change, what does it mean to you? Well, in the first of our many discussions on this issue, we have a panel. I'm joined by Natasha Hughes, by Councillor Leonard Kelly and by Philomena Murphy. And they're all very, very welcome. First off, I'll come to you, Natasha. A little bit of background to who you are and what sustainability, climate change and the environment means to you.
Thanks, Alan, and great to be here. So I'm Natasha Hughes. I'm an executive coach and a consultant. And I suppose in the last couple of years, after coming out of the corporate world and getting into my own business as an entrepreneur, I suppose I've become a little bit more familiar with sustainability. I'm currently in the first year of my master's in executive leadership, and sustainability themes are very common through a lot of the modules we're doing. And through a lot of the clients I'm coaching, it is emerging more and more as a topic that leaders in our community are looking to work towards new goals, and they're looking for coaching and support around sustainability issues.
And we're going to look at the whole area of sustainability and what it actually is and simplify it so that we can all understand it. Councillor Leonard Kelly, you and I quite recently, we looked at major developments in sport and cycling and the environment from that point of view. Mm-hmm. Your own involvement in the environment, your own view on sustainability and, of course, climate change.
Yeah, it's something that even from a very young age, I can remember being very conscious of what was happening in the environment. Even back as far as, and some of your listeners are probably too young to remember, but the whole issue in relation to the hole in the ozone layer, what was called global warming, but now we're calling climate change. I would have studied environmental science for a number of years. That was my first course back in the 90s. So it's something I also had a keen interest in. Over the last number of years, I've started to really start to pay attention, because it's something that is very much in the media, but also there is the legacy issue from my own perspective. It's something that I am a dad, I have four children, and it's something I'm very conscious of the world that we're handing over to them, for them to develop into, and the changes that have been caused, I suppose, by our generation and by the generations maybe that have come before. So for me, it's about what can we do in terms of making this world as comfortable, as livable for ourselves, but also for the generations that are coming forward. But predominantly by doing the right thing, by doing the things that are actually still going to possibly enhance our lives. And that's the area I like to focus on, is the things that we can do in our own everyday lives that are actually, number one, are going to help the environment, help from a climate point of view, but are also just going to enhance our own lives from a social contract point of view and just from our own relationships.
Thank you, Leonard. We're going to come back to both Leonard and Natasha to look at the word sustainability and what it means. We also have the ecological footprint calculator, which sounds quite a mouthful, but if you go through it, it is really, really interesting. So we'll get the views of our panellists on that. But to introduce our third panellist now, Philomena Murphy, and of course, gold medal comes to mind, because with Wexford Tidy Towns, you've been championing keeping Wexford Town very tidy, but of course it's countywide as well, because along with your colleagues in other parts of County Wexford, tidiness is very much paramount for you. Just your own involvement in the environment, sustainability, why you got involved in climate change, what are your thoughts, Philomena?
My thoughts, like you said, has a lot to do. We do a lot of cleaning, and the sustainability, we kind of are not graded as on our own, because we're just a small group. We don't have to say in doing lots of things, but we work very closely with the council, and we love what the guys are doing here. And like I said, Leonard, earlier on, the bikes are amazing. Every time we're out cleaning, there's at least four or five people zooming around on the bikes, which is great. For ourselves, as I said, with the new bins the council that got, like, you know, we're in with all them, but we don't do much ourselves, as in
you would like to do more, is that what you think?
I would like to do more, as I say, but we don't have the last word. We bring up loads of ideas, but we never get we don't have the last word. I don't have the authority to do things that I would like to do sometimes. I go around to the schools myself, and I think that's the place to start with kids now. You find small children are they know all this stuff, and they're great, and they know what they should be doing, and they're doing it. It's when they get older, then they kind of lose it again. We need to go to and talk to these people. If we don't all work together, it's really not worth doing anything, do you know?
And just before I move away from that, I mean, about small children, we have the Reuse Recycle Initiative by Cliona Connolly and Wexford,
yes,
County Council.
Well,
and that in itself does wonderful work for the environment. And it's maybe something we can look at further down the line in our weekly podcasts on this. But that is something that the children often it's the children who tell the parents how they need to what they need to do to benefit the whole area of climate change.
It really is, Alan. I even had my four grandchildren in trying to brush their teeth at the same time in the bathroom last weekend when we were here, and the little girl of four said to the bigger chap, turn off that tap while you're brushing your teeth. There's no point in wasting water. And I thought, my goodness, this is where you think they're not listening to you, but they are, and they take everything in.
And just when it comes to what you're dealing with at the moment with Tidy Towns, cigarette butts, cigarette waste, he's asked one, chewing gum, dog fouling as well. What are the big issues at the moment for
you? The biggest issues are the cigarette butts, Alan. And no matter, again, we're after putting up loads of new cigarette boxes around town. And all we ask you to do is put them in there. But I've seen people sitting outside of AIB, especially on the bench there. And there's, if they look around them, there's actually three places they can put their cigarette butt. But they, most of them choose to put it on the floor. I just don't understand. I don't know how we're going to get it through to these people.
Yeah.
But we need to. We all, if we don't work together, this is not going to work.
All right. Well, look, it's lovely to introduce the three of you. Now we're going to look at some of the key issues. First off, I want to refer, and I ask all of you to pick it up on your mobile phones or your apps or whatever. It's the ecological footprint calculator. Maybe we'll come back to you first on this, Leonard. This is quite interesting because it's a questionnaire that we'd encourage everyone to take. Would you like to talk to us a little bit about it, please?
There's lots of different tools out there. This is one, Alan, and it looks like a really interesting one you found. I think all of these tools, what they do is to bring into your awareness of what the impact is that you are having on your environment and the world around you. So that is the thing that we can all do, is just be that bit more conscious of making maybe different lifestyle choices that are going to have a more positive impact on the environment around us, for example, Alan. So as I'm not sure exactly what's within this, but I would guess, and I'll just use some examples from my own life in the last number of weeks. Like, for example, in the last couple of weeks, a couple of changes I've tried to make. Anybody, I'm sure, Philomena is familiar with this idea of no mow May. So in terms of giving the pollinators a chance within your garden. So it doesn't mean you have to let everything go wild. It means you would pick certain areas within your garden that you're going to allow the flowers and the pollinators to come through. That's number one. Starting to use e-bikes much more. So from an active travel point of view this morning, I hopped on my bike. It's always the easier option to get into your car. Absolutely. But I went, look, let's get down there. And as you know, I was here early. I actually got here. I overestimated how much time it took me to get here.
And your bike is in Southeast Radio.
And it's in South, and it's safe and well here. And that's two things. And then we'll say from a third area, only this week I noticed that a new shop had opened up in Wexford, a vintage shop selling like upcycled and old pre-used clothes. So I went in there just to say hello, to welcome the new shop, and ended up walking out with a new shirt. Yeah. So there is a shirt. So that's something that I haven't introduced anything into the world, but I still have a brand new shirt that I'm happy with that hasn't been thrown to landfill. The pollinators have been given a better chance. And from an active travel point of view, I didn't use my car. And on my way out, I said hello to three people that if I was stuck in my car, it's likely I wouldn't have had a chance to say hello to. So there's the benefits. Living a more sustainable life can have really strong benefits for the individual as well as the society.
Right, and we're going to get onto some sustainability in detail. But Natasha, I do have the special ecological footprint calculator in front of me here. And I'll just like it asks questions. How often do you eat animal-based products? Let me see what the next one is. How much of the food that you eat is unprocessed, unpackaged or locally grown? Which housing type best describes your home? The next question is, what material is your house constructed with? There's a lot of questions being asked in that, Natasha, that we perhaps never even think about. But when you sit down to go through this survey, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. And I think, you know, apps like this and the world of technology is advancing all the time to create that awareness. And I suppose this is the whole area of outer sustainability. So there's a lot of policies, there's a lot of technology, apps to get us to rethink about our actions and how we can change our behaviours. I mean, Philomena referred to her grandchildren about all trying to wash their teeth at the same time. I've got three young daughters and my youngest is five, and like they're constantly turning off switches, turning off lights and telling me to turn off the tap. Yeah. So there is some great work to be, you know, done at the young age. And I said lots of stuff being done in terms of policies are being adapted and, you know, changes in terms of sustainability reporting for companies. But that is key, Alan, as you said, it's creating that awareness to really kind of look at our whole environment. So from our gardens to our homes, to how we're travelling, to how we're using our energy. And it's just, if we all could like sit down and take the time to do these little surveys like the ecological footprint calculator, you know, that will could be the first step of creating a more sustainable future for our future generations.
Now, here's one question on housing. What percentage of our home's electricity comes from renewable sources? I honestly couldn't answer that question. Could you answer that question?
No, and I was at the Climate Action Plan yesterday in the County Council, and you know, a lot of it around energy, and it was the agriculture section that I was in. And I went home and had a conversation with my husband, going, we need to really sit down and start looking at this stuff.
You can answer the question, can you?
No, I can't answer that question. But what I was going to say is it's something that we do have to be also careful, especially those of us who are trying to get a message out there, not to overwhelm people as well, because there's certain things within their life that we have very little control over. There are other parts of our lives that we have a lot of control over.
Yeah.
If we can focus on educating people on the areas of their lives that they have control over, that they can make those positive changes, that's where we really, like the stuff the filming I was talking about, that's incredible to hear those young people talking about, you know, sharing the tap and turning it off when they're not using it. That's the part of their lives that they have control over. So if that's a habit that they build as they go through life, that they can continue to understand that I can control this. I'm not looking for somebody else to fix this, but I can control this. Now, there is the corporate side, which is much bigger. That's not something we can fix today. I've audited corporates in terms of a sustainability standard, and it's absolutely massive and it's quite mind-blowing. But for the ordinary person like myself and everyone here at the table on the street, it is about what are those things we can do that will fundamentally make a difference. How we power our house, most of us don't have a choice. You know, okay, we can burn fuel or we can use gas or oil, but outside of that, most of us don't have a choice when it comes to that type of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Look, here's one for you, Philomena, in this survey. Compared to your neighbours, how much trash do you generate? I mean, as I go through this, this is riveting because this is actually right to the core, isn't it?
It is right to the core. And Leonard was talking about charity shops. I'm a great one for charity shops. I love them all. Again, it's a way of saving all this stuff going to landfill. Now, the worst one is clothes, is clothing. I buy most of my stuff from charity shops. Again, people think charity shops, they think, I'm not going to wear secondhand clothes. They're practically new now.
Yeah,
they're dearer than what they used to be, but much cheaper than buying. Yeah. And also recycling. And I have, again, my grandchildren. Everything I get.
And you feel that has a bearing on the environment as well?
Absolutely has a bearing. And I think, you know, if we get youngsters again to see it's okay to go to charity shops and stuff like that and share, I get to swap books. I kind of, even when I get books in charity shops myself, I keep them in my house and the boys will bring them home and then bring them back to me because I've two in Kildare and two in Wexford. So, you know, I kind of use myself like a little library for them.
Yeah.
Do you know, all things like that make such a big difference, Alan.
I want to move away from this survey because I'm actually dug into it as I'm speaking to the three of you this morning. Like, what is the average fuel economy of the vehicles you use most often? When you travel by car, how often do you carpool? This is really basic earthy stuff, Natasha, isn't it? The questions, and I mean, you're dealing with business in your own professional capacity. Would carpooling be something that you'd come across at all? Or is it something, I mean, in COVID times, a lot of people were working from home, but now they're back working again. I wonder, is carpooling popular here in County Wexford?
Yeah, it's hard to know, Alan. And I suppose, you know, in the busy lives we lead, and I suppose this often contributes to some of the sustainability issues, you know, we don't take the time to, you know, take that little bit of extra to carpool. But I think, you know, those who are making longer journeys definitely are more aware of it. Obviously, the cost of fuel and energy to fuel our cars is impacting those decisions. So I'd say it is increasing, but again, it's sometimes it's taken the time to organise it.
All right, let's get on to sustainability. How would you define sustainability, Leonard? What is it?
I think I've already touched on, but it's basically as much as you can within your daily life to consider the impact that your actions, especially from a lifestyle point of view, are having on this one planet that we're all living on.
Yeah.
I like to try and simplify things. And I think that's something that we could possibly all connect in with. It's just we can do that as we're walking through our daily life, the lifestyle choices we make, what impacts we're having on the environment and the planet that we're living on.
And for you, Natasha, sustainability, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's very similar to Leonard. It's trying to simplify it because, you know, you mentioned it earlier, we can often get overwhelmed by all the stats and things about like greenhouse emissions and reducing our carbon footprint. But it's like, what can we do today that will have a lasting impact for the generations of tomorrow? And for me, that really is sustainability.
Right. And for you, how would you describe it?
Like the two folks there, again, it's all about what we do ourselves. And as you probably know, I work very closely with Wexford and Bloom. And at the moment, all our baskets, most of our baskets now are gone to, that will rewater themselves. So the ones you actually have outside your building are still the old ones, but by next year we're hoping to have all the heavy watering baskets in, and all the flowers in our baskets are all for bees and butterflies, and we make sure all that's done properly. Again, we don't use any any dangerous stuff on any of the plants. We don't use any of that stuff. So that's all. Yeah.
And that's really interesting, because it's only something I became aware of recently. I would have always thought that a flower bee likes it. There are some flowers bees have absolutely no use to them. Mm-hmm. So even that piece, we have to be conscious in terms of, okay, what are we going to put into our garden?
Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
And there's prettier, if not prettier, than flowers that you would just go and get in. Now, again, most of the supermarkets are very aware of this. Yeah. I spoke to them myself. They're trying to only get in the ones now that the bees and the butterflies and, you know, themselves, the supermarkets are getting very good, I have to say.
And to be fair, the signage on the motorways about bees have been there for quite some time, haven't they? It's a big issue, isn't it?
It's bees, but it's butterflies. It's all of the natural life that's out there. We can often, the bee is the nice one that we see because it's pretty, but it is pretty much just to give all of nature a chance. Yeah. And it's that biodiversity piece that we have, that rich and fulfilled environment.
And as we know, we can't survive without the bees.
We can't survive without the bees, but other pollen.
We have to treat them with respect.
And it's even like simple things, like one of the biggest pieces of joy I had a couple of years ago, and I'm a townie, so I wouldn't often see these things, but I was, we have a cat, so I was shutting up the house at night and I thought I saw something outside the back door. And I opened to see what it was. It was a big, giant hedgehog. Now, I live in town and I hadn't ever seen something, and beautiful looking creature. Yeah. But we can help hedgehogs, for example, even in our urban planning, that we don't build solid walls everywhere to keep us separate, but also to keep nature separate. That we have little corridors that little friends like our hedgehogs can actually wander around the natural environment, which was theirs probably long before it was ours.
And I mean, I've been to Johnstown Castle, I've been quite recently to JFK Park up around New Ross, and of course Minrine Park, and there's a huge emphasis on biodiversity in all these areas, isn't there, Leonard?
There is, and look, it's another area of interest, you know, I have, Alan, in terms of the whole idea of well-being and mental health, and like the evidence is irrefutable that in terms of even to have access to green spaces can make a massive impact on your general well-being and your mental health. So something like, even in terms of the way that we, number one, design our own houses, the way that we plant our gardens, but also in terms of the policymakers out there, and yes, me as a county councillor, is that we be very conscious of the fact that we have to give people the opportunity to actually just be present in nature, because it's good for us.
All right, I want to move into other areas as well. Ours to Protect, it's our panel discussion, and over the next number of weeks and months, on a weekly basis, we will be looking at various aspects of the environment and climate change from a wide variety of people every Friday on Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. But I'll come to you first off. The food waste challenge is something that you in the Tidy Towns, Philomena, have been very much aware of.
Yes.
Portion size too big. What happens to waste of food? So let's get your view on this one then.
Way too big. And you have people saying, look, could you throw it out to the birds? The bird, you know, that's okay. The birds don't need all that food. The birds have lasted for donkey's years without this food. I actually, and I got a belt in the head with a donut yesterday and I didn't know where it came from. It was a man throwing it out of a car to the birds. Right. I thought it'd start flying donuts, you know, but it was just, I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, we just don't need that food. You go into bring the kids as well to the chippers for a treat. Your bag of chips would do three people. You get three bags of chips, it's just ridiculous. Right. Why, you know, is it because they can charge people more or whatever? They need to cut down on the portions. All the chip shops, all the restaurants, all of them. It's an awful waste.
Right. Okay, Leonard, I've got to look at two aspects of this for you. The awareness of the carbon footprint from food waste, and also the link between food waste and single-use plastic, because, of course, I've seen documentaries on television, particularly in beautiful sea areas, where plastic washing up on the shore is a massive issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible. And it's something I thought we were starting to make some headway in the last couple of years, especially when it comes to kind of fast food outlets, but I believe that they've managed to kind of get around that by having plastic, which is reusable plastic, but it's up to each consumer to decide if they want to go and wash that plastic. Now, ultimately, that's ending up in a bin, that's ending up in landfill, that's ending up in the storm drains of our streets, which is ending up in the ocean. And that's where we end up getting the microplastics, which are going to be, every single one of us, we're probably already have microplastics within us because of the food we consume and the water we drink. That's a given. So
we're part plastic.
Yes, and we're becoming much more and more plastic as the years go on, Alan, because even if we were to stop right now producing plastic, there is such a volume of it in our environment that is still going to be coming into our food chain, into our water. So we have to be conscious of that. But back to Philomena's piece in relation to the food wasting. Yeah, again, that's about those conscious decisions. Like, for example, just a very brief one in terms of like even making a dinner. I'm not great in the kitchen, but I have a couple of dinners I can make. One would be chili con carne. So chili, that's mince. So what I've started to do recently is go half and half, have half beans and half mince. So there's a certain type of beans you can get. The children initially noticed that it was beans. One or two didn't like it, but I just kind of mushed them up a little bit. Yeah. Then they don't notice it. So number one, you're not having the carbon footprint of your dinner, because meat is highly intensive from the point of view of the carbon footprint that it has. But also you're reducing the amount of meat that they're actually intaking, because we eat too much meat
as a
society. We don't need the amount. We needed that much meat when we were hunter-gatherers running around the fields. Huh. Most of us have quite a sedentary lifestyle. So we don't need to have the amount of calories that we are eating and consuming.
Okay. Look, there's many campaigns, and I know you are very, very strong, particularly both in your professional life and also with your involvement with Rotary, about the environment. There are many national food waste prevention programs, etc. I mean, from your own perspective, how do you think you can get the message out, Natasha? Because sometimes, if you mention the C word, COVID, now, do people just go, oh, but sometimes it can be a turn off. It depends on how you get the message out there, isn't it? So how do you make the message attractive that people will listen?
With most communication, Alan, is to simplify it and to really bring it back to, you know, what's meaningful to that person, you know. And Philomena referred to the overconsumption there, you know, in terms of food, you know, clothes and everything. And it's about really simplifying the message and, you know, even throwing it out there. Well, what does sustainability mean to you? You know, like, you know, to be aware of your actions. And what's the one thing you can do that can change, you know, in terms of the sustainability for the future? So, like, you know, like, you know, Leonard referred to there, you know, like, you know, trying to cut down on what you're using, you know, the amount of waste you're generating. So it's really communicating that message with compassion and being courageous to call out when you see this stuff happening, going, you know, perhaps you could do this.
And as a mom, is portion size something that you would be strong on there at this stage?
Yeah, it's something we're very much aware in our house. You know, and even the kids were like, you know, how much are you actually cooking, you know, and things like that. I'm definitely much aware of what we are throwing out and what we're consuming and what we're buying, because we are in an environment where we consume so much and we buy too much. Yeah. You know, we go down the town and you're coming home with a few bags of different things and you're like, do we really need this? Yeah. So every time we go out, if you have that one question in your mind, you know, if your listeners go out going, do I really need this, before you buy it? And I think if we all could take that message, we really could reduce what we're taking home and
1,000%.
Then, you know, protect the oceans. And you mentioned the ocean, Alan, just referred to that. A stat that has just stood out to me in terms of the education I'm doing and the lifelong learning, you know, in according to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, by 2050, there'll be more plastic in our oceans than marine life.
Wow.
And for me, that is just frightening.
It absolutely.
So, you know, so I am conscious of the plastic. And, you know, and that's going into, you know, fish and stuff that we are consuming, and Leonard referred it. So it's just about really being aware and changing our behaviours.
Yeah. Philomena, you want to add your views on this as well? I know one of the areas I'd like to talk to you about is the fact about the food cloud, the social enterprise, the food cloud, but also the proper brown bin usage. Which
Again, it's a great idea for the brown bin. Do you know, not everybody have one. But at the same time, if you didn't buy too much food, you probably wouldn't have to use it as much, really, you know. I was just thinking about, you were saying, well, when we were young, like I came from a very large family, we definitely had no brown bin, nor did we need one. We'd been there ourselves, so cover a bit. So when I got married first and I had like my husband's wages and my wages, and I thought, what am I going to do with all this? I said, I'm going to shop, and I thought, go to the supermarket, I could put what I like in this trolley, and it was all for ourselves. Do you know? So it's habits like that that we have to get away from, because I think people of my age nearly know what I'm talking about, and we're still inclined to overbuy because we couldn't. We were deprived nearly of stuff when we were young, and we're still kind of paying ourselves back for that, and we have to stop.
That's very wise. Look, time is catching up on us. We're going to round off the first of our many discussions on this very special initiative, Ours to Protect. Can we look, Leonard, at you pointed at the plastic cup here in front of you.
Right, so when you said call it out.
Yeah. So when it comes to reusable containers, etc., maybe that's something you'd like to talk about as well.
Again, Alan, it's just... Often we can end up almost getting into like guilt-tripping territory, and that's no good for anybody. It's about making the conscious decisions. that's already been set. That you just think, right, as you're going out, do you have a reusable cup, or do you actually need that takeaway coffee from the petrol station? Would it be better if you have, number one, from your money point of view and your time point of view, to actually sit at, in a coffee shop and have a conversation with somebody, as opposed to, number one, consuming something that has a throwaway cup that's really probably not adding much value to yourself, or definitely from an environmental point of view. So it's about really just looking at your life and seeing in what way can you cut down. We go back to the clothes thing. Like, you know, it just not to overbuy, not to... It's just... Think about the choices you make, Alan.
That's Natasha, as we conclude our conversation, encouraging local business, the greening of local business, how important is that? How difficult is that to do? And I know, for example, the National Opera House were trailblazers in this whole area, and maybe we'll get a chance to speak to them over the coming weeks as well. The greening of local business, is it going to be embraced?
I think there's no choice but to embrace it, Alan, in terms of, you know, the policies and the reporting that's going to be required in the coming years. And, you know, we keep hearing about the sustainable development goals that we need to achieve by 2030. So, you know, there is no choice, but it's about, you know, starting somewhere and really thinking and looking at their businesses in terms of what they can do. There's loads of support out there. There's loads of government initiatives. And it's really, you know, looking at the first steps for a lot of business. And I mean, if we kind of, we need to think, really rethink and think again about every action. And if businesses start that, well, then hopefully it'll be a better future.
It is. And it's something like the evidence would be out there that businesses that really engage with sustainability, it makes sense for them. It's that difficult mindset change that they need to make. Maybe there is an initial investment they need to make, whether that be in time or resources or personnel.
Yeah.
But the evidence would show that it actually makes sense. But I have a little quote just in terms of like the bigger conversations. Like basically individually we are one drop if you consider of water, and we've talked a lot about water here. But working together, and it's about those individual choices. We are the ocean. So that fundamental change can happen. The ocean is powerful, but the ocean ultimately is made up of many, many different drops. Yeah. So if we all make these individual choices that we talk about, then that change can, without us really noticing, can really start to happen.
Okay. Philomena, just get a final comment from you.
Again, just people out there say, sure, what difference could I make? I'm only one person. You can make a big difference. Like when you're collecting your child from school, please don't be leaving your car running. It's not fair on the rest of us, and it's not definitely not doing the earth any good, I can tell you. Don't be throwing your cigarette butts on the floor. Coffee cups are a big thing. They're everywhere. Mm. Absolutely everywhere. Do you know? So we need to just, small things like that makes and will make an awful difference to your children, for your children's future.
All right. A quick one on water conservation. We're going through a fairly dry spell at the moment, Leonard. Fixed leaks or drips, monitor meter readings, water. You talked about water there.
Yeah.
Any other advice you have to give on it?
Again, it's back to the choices. I currently, our garden, because we've tried to make a pollinator friendly, is like, there's lots of lovely flowers in it, but it's just sort of said, how much do you need to water it? People like water the grass. Now, until it gets to the point of being pretty much dead, grass does not need to be watered, especially in Ireland. But we have this mindset thing that we want it to stay green and lush, so we must water it every day. Yeah. You don't need to. Okay. Let it go a little bit brown. It will recover very, very quickly, and the rain will return.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining me. Natasha, final word from you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Alan. I think, you know, even
it's
today,
been very interesting,
future, really
it? Yeah.
Interesting. And it's so simple, you know, it's what we keep saying, it's the simple conversation, creating the awareness, and, you know, just creating that better future for the future generations. And, you know, just always keep thinking, you know, what can I do today which will make a difference for tomorrow?
Philomena?
Absolutely, 100% agree. Everybody just pick one thing, even a week if you have to, and just stick to that one thing, and then next week, two things, and so on. And when you start doing them, it just becomes a habit, and then you can't see yourself doing any other way, you just can't.
And finally, Leonard.
Basically, think about your actions, do what you can, and you will see the benefits.
Hours to Protect, www.hourstoprotect.ie. Full information is there. Also, a guideline and a link into the ecological footprint calculator that will certainly question you and will make you think. Our thanks to Natasha Hughes, to Councillor Leonard Kelly, and to Philomena Murphy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.